Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. And doctor, if you would hand me my drugs there. Thank you. My coffee cup is too far away for me to reach. Thank you, Dr. Brandon Breening, always willing to help me in my search for caffeinated products. Dr. Brandon Breening is here from Breening Total Wellness Center, and he is a doctor of chiropractic, and as such, does a lot with the neurons in our brain. He does a lot with our brain work. He also manipulates our spine to get our nerve flow going. And I was talking this morning, I saw something on the news this morning. Children with autism, they're desperately trying to figure out what is causing this, because we have many more cases now than we did, you know, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And there's a drug that's used to treat chemotherapy patients. It helps them uptake folic acid. And they started giving this to children with autism, plus dosing them extra with folic acid. So it wasn't that they weren't getting any folic acid. They just couldn't use it in their body. So this drug somehow turns on the receptor that allows folic acid to be used in children's bodies. And this one example that was shown on the news this morning, a child who's 4 years old, never spoke a word in his life, was completely nonverbal after 3 days of this treatment. Was speaking in sentences and being able to communicate with his family. So he'd learned the vocabulary in his mind. He was able to speak. He just couldn't speak. What do you think about something like that, Dr. Breening?
Absolutely. That is really neat. You just never know what you're going to find that's going to fix something, right? It's interesting. There's a podcast that came out last year, speaking of people with autism, nonverbal people with autism, and communication. The podcast was called The Telepathy Tapes, and it was talking about how a lot of these autistic people can communicate. What the initial part of it was they were able to basically read the mind of their caregiver, right? So, and the way they experimented with this is the caregiver was on one side of the room, and they popped up a random number generator, and they generated a random number, and the autistic person was on the other side, and they would write out the number before they could even say it, before the person registered it. As soon as it was there, they were writing it out or typing it out on their iPads.
Right.
So the communication pathway is already there. The language is already there. In a lot of these people, it's just finding ways to access it, right?
So this may be, you know, a new breakthrough, or it may be works for a couple of people and doesn't work for the vast majority. But
right,
that's, again, you study the brain a lot, and you also are very into healthcare and nutrition. Folic acid is something that pregnant women are supposed to increase their dosage of because it helps their unborn child.
Absolutely. You get spina bifida
if you don't have folic acid. So, but this is different. These children that have autism were not deemed to be low in folic acid. Their diets were regulated enough that they were getting enough. But their body, that receptor that allows you to take folic acid in and use it, was malfunctioning. And this drug made that function better. So, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be a game changer for the entire world. Do we know what causes autism? And I know some people say vaccinations, but I know plenty of people who do not have their children vaccinated, and yet I know one person who never had their children vaccinated, and one of them has autism.
Absolutely.
So that can't be the cause, because they were never vaccinated.
Right, right. We don't know, and I would say that every case tends to be individual as to what does it, right? You can certainly link and say, okay, well, this happened right after this happened. Well, is that causation or is it correlation? You can't say for sure, but all things being equal, it's usually the simplest answer that's correct. So try and go with that. Eliminate the simple things and work your way to much more exotic things.
Okay. So, what did you bring for us today in your big book of things you want us to know about this morning, Dr. Breening?
Well, I had the dentist on my mind because I have a 1 o'clock dentist appointment this afternoon.
Yeah, but that used to be so painful to go to the dentist. It's no big deal now.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
I've never had a cavity, so.
Yeah. Well.
That's why it's really
so
painful.
You know what you don't want to find in your mouth, though, Mary? Streptococcus.
There's several things that I can... Doctor, please, don't pause so long. But go on with your story.
Streptococcus anginosis. Anginosis.
Oh, well, can you tell by looking at me? I'm going to stick out my tongue. Do I have it?
No.
Okay.
You have coffee.
So. I have coffee breath and not streptococcus anginosis breath. What in the world is that?
It is a bacteria that if it is in your mouth, you have it's linked to a 20% higher stroke risk. Oral health is very important. There's a lot of times where a strep infection in your mouth ends up, strep can go lots of places, right? If you get it down to your heart, it can cause heart trouble. We worry about that with kids. So taking care of your mouth is really, really important because it is a very open place where infection can set in and go different places. So
I think a lot of people think of mouth health as not wanting to have bad breath, and nobody wants to have bad breath. Nobody wants to have rotten teeth or have to have a root canal or something. But there again, is it causation or correlation? People with heart disease often have bad gum issues.
Yeah.
They've got gum disease. Now, which came first, the gum disease or the heart disease? They appear in corollary with each other. So we don't know really which caused which. But there's a lot of evidence now that bad mouth health, gingivitis, halitosis, gum disease, can really wreak havoc with your heart. And so, you know, you think about eating healthy to keep a healthy heart, but you have to keep your mouth healthy too.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
How do we keep that stuff out of our mouth? Because, I mean, I'm sure we're ingesting it in our food and in everything that happens.
Yeah,
in
I'm
our
not
daily
really
life.
Sure where this strand of strep is.
If you've never
normally
had
located, like yeah. H. pylori is common in a dog's mouth. So a lot of people will kiss their dog. And then that travels down, and all of a sudden I've got an ulcer. Obviously, in a healthy person, you're not going to just straight up go into an ulcer. But in someone that is immunocompromised or under a lot of stress, whatever, that is more likely to happen the more you expose your body to that thing. So.
Yeah, we used to think that ulcers were caused by stress and all this, but now we know it's that H. pylori bacteria.
Yeah.
And if you're under a lot of stress, of course, then that allows the bacteria to gain a hold and to give you an ulcer. But it's not stress that causes the ulcer. It's that H. pylori bacteria.
In most cases,
that causes the ulcer. So keeping yourself strong and healthy in other ways and keeping yourself with reduced stress levels and inflammation.
Right.
But it's the H. pylori that if you get rid of it, can you get rid of H. pylori? Or is it one of those things that's almost impossible to completely eradicate?
No, you can
eradicate?
Get rid of H. pylori. Yeah.
But we've talked about this before. Every time we get rid of something in our gut, we get rid of everything. We get rid of the good stuff, too. We haven't figured out a way to get rid of... Can we get rid of H. pylori without getting rid of all the stuff that I've been eating yogurt for all these
You
months?
Are going to get rid of... No matter what you take, you know, even if it's a natural thing, you're still going to kill bacteria with that.
And some bacteria is good.
And some of that bacteria is beneficial. That's why when you do kill it, it's important to do something afterwards to build it back up. Which, interestingly enough, just a random thought here. I had one teacher who was very, very against mouthwash. Because he thought it destroys your entire oral bacterial thing, whatever.
Yeah, the natural good bacteria.
The good
in your
bacteria
mouth.
That's in your mouth too. I don't know. It's one of those things where it remains to be seen. We'll have to look and see.
Well, most people who use mouthwash have already identified that they have a problem.
Yeah.
I don't think the average person who's never had anybody say you need a mint goes around doing mouthwash. And a lot of times it's not in your mouth. I mean, the other day, oh man, I had garlic and I just about knocked somebody over with my garlic breath. And that was not coming from my mouth. That was coming from my stomach. So, and garlic is good for you.
Absolutely.
So I just kept trying to tell him how healthy. It was like secondhand smoke.
Healthy,
I said,
yeah.
You're getting secondhand
garlic
breath.
Well, I'll stand over
here.
You be healthy over there.
Yeah, you're getting secondhand garlic breath. One more topic before I let you go.
One more time. Okay.
Because we got the sheriff out there, and I don't want to get arrested.
Yeah, we don't want to keep him waiting. Yeah.
You can go do anything you want when you leave. He's not on patrol.
I wouldn't know about anything. I'm just going to go to work, Mary. Brain bleeds will double your risk of dementia.
Brain bleeds will double your risk of dying.
Absolutely. But okay. If you survive the bleed, okay. They look at this a lot with stroke, right? You're going to increase your chance of dementia. This is another study that's looking at it with a bleed versus a clot. And so they, again, stuff we know, but the research is coming around to that and showing, hey, the stuff that we always knew. Yeah, it really is true. So that's interesting. Yeah. If you have a brain bleed or know someone that has had a brain bleed and is surviving, they should be monitored early on. Do some early dementia testing with them so that you can catch it early and do some more preventative stuff with them.
Yeah, they've got some good medications now they're developing that will help slow down.
Yeah.
Alzheimer's disease and dementia. Real quick, before I let you go, I haven't been sick this winter. My husband hasn't really been sick this winter. I know. And I don't think we're doing anything extra special. What advice would you give to people when these frigid cold temperatures and we're all locked inside and we're breathing all over each other? What are some of the simple tips that you can give to help us stay healthy?
Simple tips. Well, you can obviously exercise is important. Getting out and doing that sort of stuff, keeping your body active and moving, making sure you are getting your basic vitamins in. Like you said, the folic acid, the B vitamins are really important to keep the stress down. If you're feeling something, start early and hit it hard, right? Get some vitamin C in there. Get some garlic. Get something that that is really good at defeating this. Oregano, really good for killing bacteria. You might smell, if you eat a lot of oregano, you're going to smell like pizza all the time. And if you take oregano supplements, you're going to burp and be like, did I eat pizza today? And you'll be like, no, I didn't. I had that oregano pill. But
okay, oregano, vitamin C, garlic. You'll be healthy because nobody will come near you.
That's right.
And you won't be exposed to germs. Dr. Brandon Breening, always a delight when you stop by. Thank you so very much. The sheriff of Adams County is my next guest.
Oh, well, you're upgrading.
He's out there checking you for
cheating
warrants
on the chief,
right now.
Huh?
Well, Chief is at a conference today.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The city of Quincy's police department is being raided. Not raided, rated.
Rated.
They're being graded. Graded. So he's got to go and see if he gets an A.
That's right.
Okay, we'll be right back. Adams County Sheriff Tony Groton says he'll stand on the sideline and cheer for plungers, but he is not getting himself into the liquid icy waters. However, I'm sure he supports the cause in financial ways. The Sheriff of Adams County, Tony Groton, is my guest today, and we're going to talk about a wide variety of issues. But one thing, we talk with law enforcement a lot. We talk with Chief Yates a lot about law enforcement.
Sure.
But you've got the special venue of the Adams County Jail, the sheriff runs the jail.
Correct.
And that's an area that a lot of people have never been to. The average person really doesn't get in trouble all that often. They might have a ticket or they might have some interaction with a law enforcement officer, but it very rarely leads to them actually going down to 5th and Broadway and being put behind bars.
Yes.
So let's talk about the jail. First of all, we were trying to decide this morning how old the jail is. I said 10 years. Scott said not 10 years. How old is the Adams County Jail?
3.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the new
is
jail.
Is that all?
Yeah, the new jail was completed the year before I took office.
Wow. Tony, I just think it's been there forever. Yeah. Well, no. Whatever. Okay, 3 years old.
It took a long time to finish it, of course.
Yeah.
And it was a big project.
Oh, yeah.
It was well needed.
Yes, it was. And I remember when that whole thing was going on and, you know, people were saying we shouldn't coddle criminals and all this. But the problem with a jail is these people, by and large, are going to be released back into society.
Correct.
If you're sent to jail, you've done something that is still important. It's a criminal offense, but it's minor enough that you're not being sent away to the big house. So you are going to spend some time in the friendly confines and then you're going to be released. And so there are programs in the jail to help you get back into society. And I want to focus on some of those today. But first, let's just talk about the jail. How many inmates can you house?
We can house upwards of 180, but we consistently run a population of about 109 to 112.
Now, I remember when the jail was being proposed, it was like, oh, we're overcrowded. We need more space. We've got
Correct.
To go up to 180. But then laws have changed, and we don't hold as many people before trial and stuff. So are we over capacity?
Oh, no. No. And quite frankly, I think you're going to see a shift in this, too. You know, the state law, when it took effect, when they changed, and they just released people back into society on an OR bond, which is their own recognizance, so they don't have to post cash. But I think the shift's coming, and we certainly, well, right now we have 10 federal inmates, and I'm sure that we're going to end up with more federal inmates out of this too, which is good because that provides an income to the county. They pay, I think it's $90 a day per prisoner, and so that's income for the county. Now, we don't get it, but it goes back into the general fund. And the county's been pretty good to us. If we need something, you know, they allow us to go and purchase it. So I do believe we're going to see a rise there. I don't know, on a state level, I don't know what's going to happen. But you have to understand, back in the, I actually went to work for the Sheriff's Department in 1976 when I got out of the military. And I worked under Sheriff Bob Nall then at that time. And I worked in jail for two and a half years before I rotated out into the street. And back then, our average inmate population was 60 to 70. And now we're over 100. So some things have changed. But and you're also right. We do house them before they go to prison. And once they're sentenced, DOC comes and picks them up pretty quickly and takes them to either Menard or one of the intake centers for processing. And that person, when he gets out on parole, has to report back here to a parole officer here in Quincy, Adams County. And oftentimes, I hate to say it, but it's true, we get a lot of repeat offenders.
It's almost too bad they make him come back here. If this is the area where they had problems and the friends they have here and the acquaintances and the contacts they have here are the problem, let him out and let him go somewhere else. Why did we make him come back? I realize they committed the infraction here, but why did we make him come back here?
Mostly because they have family support here, okay, family members. They may also have a job lined up when they get out of prison in this area. So I think it's more because they're from here and they really don't want to go anywhere else. Now, the federal inmates, that's different, okay, because I would say the majority of our federal population comes from either Champaign, Urbana, or Peoria, which once they're sentenced, they go to a federal penitentiary. And when they get released from the penitentiary.
They just walk out and go wherever they want.
Yes.
We're talking today with Sheriff, God, what a demotion. You're right on the Mary Griffith Show. Sheriff Tony Grotens. The jail is only 3 years old. It houses up to 180 inmates. The average population there is about 109, 10 federal prisoners. Right now there's a crackdown underway with immigration, trying to get people who are not in this country legally, that don't have the visa, don't have whatever, may have a criminal element to them. Do you anticipate that you'll be asked to house any prisoners from that ilk?
I hope so.
Because you want the money.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I want the money back in the county coffers if we can do it. So, of course, and we have the room for it. Now, I know the governor is not for it. He doesn't want us to take them, but we're obligated by federal law to do that. I mean, we have to assist the Border Patrol, okay, and immigration if they need help.
Well, let me ask you this question then. I mean, because I tend to think of criminals in Quincy as kind of nice people who just did something bad. And then I think of people who are, like, being held for federal conviction or people who are, you know, known gang members and criminals to be kind of not the kind of people that I think of. Is there a nice section of the Adams County Jail and a mean section of the Adams County Jail, or is everybody just all in there together?
Well, there we do have separation, depending on the charges that they're in for. And federal inmates, I'm not going to say they're worse than state inmates, because some of the crimes they commit federally
are blue or a white collar.
White collar crimes.
Yeah. So they're not going to have a shiv.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And some are gang members. You're correct. But we also get those on a state charge level too. So you just don't know. But we do separate the ones. And I try to keep the federal inmates somewhat separated from the state inmates. But we go on what the charges are. If they're a violent offender, they're not going to be put in with somebody that is in for petty theft. Okay? We just don't do that. It's not fair to the inmate either, because oftentimes we have problems occasionally in the jail where they get in fights because we have several different locations for them, but if we house a few together that don't get along, we see it pretty quick. And they did a fantastic job. We have what you call a control room. And the control room operator is the one that maintains the gates and the doors, locking doors, unlocking doors, and so on and so forth. And they have monitors everywhere. So there's not much that goes on that isn't seen pretty quickly. And we can respond to that. On an average day, the average day shift, we're going to have 10 to 12 corrections officers on duty at a time. Now, we have to also get them to court if it's like a first appearance or if they got a trial date coming up or whatever the case may be. We're obligated to make that person available to go to court. And so we have court security officers also. They'll come down and the corrections officer will hand the prisoner over to court security and then they escort them to court. And sometimes they'll take the shackles off of them, sometimes they won't, depending on the judge and what the judge wants in his courtroom. If the judge wants it, we keep them shackled. If he doesn't, we're obligated to take them off. But we'll have security in there because you can't just say nothing's going to happen.
Right, and that's the thing. You have to be secure, but on the other hand, a jury or even maybe a judge could be influenced by the fact that somebody is all shackled up. Do you also give them a chance to change into street clothes before they make an appearance?
Not on the first appearance.
Okay.
But if they're going to trial, yes, we do.
So if there's a jury present or somebody that's...
Correct.
They don't have to... And by the way, what color do you wear? Do you wear orange or what color? What's the color of the day at the Adams County Jail?
Well, we have several different, but orange is a pretty popular one, I think.
Cool. But is it seasonal? I mean, how do you decide what you're going to wear today?
we do have a system kind of in place because we have female prisoners too,
yeah.
See? So we have kind of a system in place to, like I said, separate them, but you also know which ones are worse than the others.
So the color of uniform they're wearing is a clear signal this person keep a wide berth.
Certainly can be.
Okay. What do the ladies wear?
They wear a uniform, too.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
what color
a
is
jumpsuit.
Is it stunning?
No. It's not meant to be.
I've had one on. It's awful. Okay. Tony Groton's my guest today, the sheriff of Adams County. And we're talking to you about the jail primarily because, of course, the sheriff's office does go out and patrol and arrest people. And
yes.
If you speed, they're going to get you and all this other stuff. But going to jail is an experience that most people have not had. I mean, definitely fewer than 50% of people have been in jail, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I think the percentage is much smaller than that.
Yeah. I
always said 10% of the population causes us 90% of the problems.
Right. Yeah. So most people avoid any actual behind the slammer time. They may appear in court. They may be found guilty of something.
Correct.
But very few people unless it's a very serious offense, go to an actual lockup situation.
Correct. Now, we, by state law, we can house state prisoners up to 365 days, but we can't go over a year. They have to go, if they get sentenced to more than 365 days, they're going to go to one of the intake centers for DOC, is what's going to happen. But we do have some inmates that spend almost a year in the county jail. Most of those would be driving offenses such as DUI on a felony level, okay, like a second or third or fourth offense. And sometimes they get a year in jail and they sober up. Now, do they stay that way when they go out? Unfortunately, the recidivism rate is pretty high.
Well, we want to talk about that, but we're going to take a break, head up to the IRSA Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening there. Rex Battery brings you this report. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We're going to have him on more often because Sergeant, or sorry, I'm going to keep making you a sergeant.
That's okay.
Sheriff Tony Grotens. As long as you still pay me the same, you don't care, right?
Well, I was a sergeant.
You were
here
a sergeant
too.
A long time, yeah.
Yeah.
So Tony Grotens is with me today. He's the sheriff of Adams County and proud to be our leader in law enforcement. We've talked a lot about how many the jail holds, what kind of people are in there, the beautiful orange outfits they get to wear. But let's talk about this recidivism. People go into the jail and they are convicted of a crime and they're told you have to pay this penalty. And sometimes this penalty is a fine and sometimes it's staying away from society for a while. Now, talk a little bit about do you have programs in place in the jail to try to help people that you know could do better if they just had a better role model or something? Is there something there that you can try to help? Because it's supposed to be corrections.
Yes.
And a lot of times nothing gets corrected.
Well, there's some that will take advantage of the programs that we have in place, and some don't want anything to do with it. And that's where you'll see the recidivism is more on the part where a person doesn't care. They just don't care. And they're going to continue to commit crimes no matter what. The ones that you help, and we have, like I said, several programs. We have counselors come in there. We have ministries come in there. And we have, well, of course, we have a health care staff that's there, I think, 5 days a week. And so we have RN and LPNs in place.
Because some of these people come in, they've got a drug problem, they've got an alcohol problem, they have a mental health disorder.
Correct. And we have to be able to service them and give them the medication that's required. We have to do that. That's an obligation of ours.
And so you're offering tips to help them get better. They may work on their GED. They may try to learn a skill. They can get some counseling to try to help them turn their mental attitude around, to turn away from getting in trouble, a life of crime, to going on the good side. You mentioned, you know, after you've been sitting in jail for a year on a drunk driving conviction, you haven't had alcohol for a year. But
correct.
If you're an alcoholic, it doesn't matter. The minute you get out, if you cannot get correction, you're still going to go back to that. And I'm always amazed how many repeat offender drunk drivers there are. That is so scary to me.
It's scary and it's bad. I mean, I've seen as many as 10 prior arrest and convictions for DUI, and they get suspended for life. At a certain point, they cannot have a driver's license.
But doesn't keep them from driving.
It doesn't keep them from driving. And those are the ones that are the worst of the worst because they end up killing somebody.
And those are the ones that every time you're pulled over, because if the police officer knows you,
yes,
and they know your car, and then you're pulled over, and then the police officer has to approach, or the sheriff's deputy has to approach, do they have a gun? Are they going to run? Are they going to become belligerent and combatant? Because they got nothing to lose. They
correct.
Know if they're caught drunk driving, they're, you know, it is an interesting attitude. We have to have insurance on our car. So many people don't. We have to have a driver's license. So many people don't. We have to have a license plate. So many people have let it expire. People say, well, these are low-level things. We should be pulling people over for this. But Chief Yates says, but that's where most people start their intro into the bad side of life of just ignoring the law.
Yeah, into the system.
Into the system. They're, you know, it's like if you have total disregard for child safety zones, speeding, you know, talking on your cell phone, you know, driving while drunk, it just escalates into not caring.
It just gets worse. It doesn't get better. It only gets worse. Eventually, and you're right, you know, I know that we have deputies and police officers that can spot someone, know who they are, and will know if they don't have a driver's license. And so he has probable cause to stop them at that point. And typically, there's going to be other crimes associated with it, unfortunately. You know, there might be a warrant for them for failing to appear in court or, you know, deceptive practice warrants. They're pretty common. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but we have to keep society safe. That is our obligation. And so that's what we do.
So the jail has to treat people with dignity and respect while they're there serving their time or waiting trial because they're not guilty. You can be in the jail for a long time and not be found guilty of anything.
Correct.
But then out on the street, you have got to separate those who cannot conduct themselves appropriately from those who can. And that's a big job. About a minute left. What's the number one wish? I know you've got officers now with the Sheriff's Department in the schools. I know that was a big wish of yours and of Kent Snyder's.
Correct.
Real quick, what would you like to see that program go to, and then what's next that you'd like to see an improvement?
Well, currently we don't have a school resource officer in every school. We're adding two this year.
Okay.
Okay, and then next year I hope to add two more. And so it's a process, and it is. And we got to hire deputies, too, and that's become a chore. As you know, we just can't retain officers. We're competing with the state police in the state of Illinois, where they start their troopers out at $90,000 a year.
What do you start out at the Adams County Sheriff's Department?
I think it's $53,000, so much lower. Now, after a couple of years, they jump up pretty good. But still, the guy, if you got a chance to go to work for the state police and not have to move, okay, and make double your salary, you're going to do it.
Yep, it's a problem. Well, I'm glad to see that things are going smoothly at the jail. Would you say that the people up there are safe, pretty much?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Okay. Well, Sheriff Grotens, it's been delightful to have you on. You have a tough job because you're in charge of all the law enforcement in the county, but you're also in charge of that jail.
Yeah.
And you don't get to pick who gets to come to your party.
No, I don't.
And a lot of them don't want to be there.
No.
And they're going to make it their mission to make it tough on you and the guys. So thank you. We'll have you on again real soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much.